Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47, The Song of the Bee, Text Number 22. Shri Shuku Vacha, Atha Udava Nishamya Evam Krishna Darshana Lalasa Santavyan Priya Sandeshai Gopi Idam Abhashata. Shri Shuku Vacha Atho Dava Nishamyaivam
Krishna Darshana Lalasa
Santavyan Priya Sandeshar Gopi Ridama Bhashata. Shri Shuku Vacha Atho Devo Nishamyaivam
Krishna Darshana Lalasa
Santavyan Priya Sandeshar Gopi Ridama Vashata Atta, then, Uddhava,
Uddhava,
Nishamya, having heard, Evam, thus, Krishna Darshana, after the sight of Krishna, Lalasa, poor hankering, Santavyan, pacifying, Priya of their beloved, Sandeshai with the messages, Gopi to the cowherd girls, Idam this, Abhashata, he said. Translation? Shukadeva Goswami said, having heard this, Uddhava then tried to pacify the gopis who were most eager to see Lord Krishna. He thus began relating to them the message of their beloved. Uddhava has come to Vrindavan, delivering the message of Krishna. Specifically, he had a letter written to the gopis, and the gopis had gathered to hear Uddhava's the message of Krishna that Uddhava had brought. But at this time, Srimati Radharani saw a bee, a bumblebee, and thought that the bumblebee was perhaps a messenger from Krishna. And there are many commentaries by the acharyas. Some of them even said that that bumblebee was Krishna himself, just to come and see how the gopis, especially Srimati Radharani, were experiencing transcendental ecstasy and separation from him. And we've just finished many of the different talks that Srimati Radharani has given in ecstasy and something called Divyam Mada, divine madness, the different types of ujula, jalpa, different types of jalpa or talking, such as prajalpa, parijalpa, vijalpa, ujjalpa, sanjalpa, avajalpa, avijalpa, ajalpa, pratijalpa, and sujalpa. Srimati Radharani has stopped speaking, and now Uddhava is about to deliver the message of Krishna. Shri Uddhava Vacha Aho Yuyam Sma Parnartha Bhavatyo Loka Pujita Vasudeve Bhagavati Yasam Yarpitam Manaha. Sri Uddhava said, certainly you gopis are all successful and are universally worshipped because you have dedicated your minds in this way to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Purport, although other devotees have certainly surrendered their minds unto the Lord, the gopis are unique in the intensity of their love. Dhanavrata tapo hauma japa swadeya samyamai sheo vividaischayam chanyai krishne bhakti hi sadyate. Devotional service unto Lord Krishna is obtained by charity, strict vows, austerities, and fire sacrifices, by japa, study of the Vedic texts, observance of regular principles, and indeed by the performance of many other auspicious practices. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the processes described here as follows. Dana, donations given to Lord Vishnu and his devotees. Vrata, observing vows such as Ekadasi. Tapas, renunciation of sense gratification for Krishna's sake. Homa, fire sacrifices dedicated to Vishnu. Japa, privately chanting the holy names of the Lord. Swadaya, studying recitation of Vedic texts such as the Gopal Tapani, Upanishad. By your good, great fortune, you have established an unexcelled standard of pure devotion for the Lord, Uttama Shloka, a standard even the sages can hardly attain. Purport, the word pravartita indicates that the gopis brought to this world a standard of pure love of God that was previously unknown on the earth. Thus Uddhava congratulates them on their unparalleled contribution to the religious life. Disha putran patin dehan svajanan bhavanani cha hedva vrinita yuyam yat krishnakyam purushamparam. By your great fortune you have left your sons, husbands, bodily comforts, relatives and homes in favor of the Supreme Male who is known as Krishna. Purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that the gopis gave up their sense of possessiveness towards these objects. History shows that the gopis remained in Vrindavan, living in their houses with their families. However, unlike ordinary persons, they entirely renounced the egotistic sense of possession of sons, husbands, and so on. They never tried to enjoy them, but rather gave their whole heart and mind to the Supreme Lord, as recommended in the great religious scriptures of the world. Following the example of the gopis, we should love the Supreme Lord with all our heart, soul, and might. You have rightly claimed the privilege of unalloyed love for the transcendental Lord. O most glorious gopis, indeed by exhibiting your love for Krishna in separation from him, you have shown me great mercy. Purport, the gopis showed not only Uddhava, but the whole world the joy of love of Godhead. And thus they bestowed their mercy on everyone. According to Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī, because their loving devotion was executed in an appropriate way, their love brought the Supreme Lord under their control. Still, to show the intensity of their love, he apparently left them, but now he again manifested himself among them, becoming spiritually present through their intense devotion. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Pasukatyade Satarane. Krishna said in his different incarnations, he told Arjuna, he has three principal reasons for coming: Pritranaya Sarunam Vinashaya Tridiskritam Dharma Samstapanartaya Samvavam Yuge Yuge. In order to annihilate the miscreants, to protect the devotees, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. Krishna's activities, we see especially in his early years and even in his later years, he's constantly killing demons. If he's not killing demons, then Balaram's killing demons. But reestablishing religious principles, we have to question, what are ultimately the religious principles? Lord Chaitanya said, prema paramartha mahan, that ultimately the religious principles are above artha or dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Religious principles means not simply to restrict our sense gratification in order to, or restrict our economic development and enjoy the senses in order to get liberation, freedom from the material concept of life. Generally, people think that the process of restricting sense gratification by giving in charity, by accepting vows, etc., that that's religious principles. Often they don't even know what the purpose of the religious principles are. They think that the purpose maybe is to go to the heavenly planets, as Krishna says, yaimam pushpitam vacham pravadam yavipasita vedavata rataparta nainam astiti vadinam karmatmaka svargapura janmakarmapalapradam kriya visheshavalam bhogaishvarya katim prati. And men of smart knowledge, they believe that the flowery language of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to the heavenly planets, result in good birth, power, and so forth, being desirous of sense gratification, opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So they're called Vedavataratas. Those are karmis. They desire fruitive results from their so-called religious principles. And sometimes they think that the ultimate goal is moksha, to get out of the material concept of life into some other concept of life, spiritual concept of life. But Lord Chaitanya has established that this is not the goal of religion, simply to realize that we're not the body, or to try to enjoy the body in a more sophisticated way, or get another body which is more enjoyable or less distressful than this. That real religion is to awaken one's dormant love of God. Of course, in order to awaken one's dormant love of God, there has to be God. So that's the problem. We don't mind loving God as long as he doesn't interfere with our material happiness. As long as he doesn't compete with us in our attempts to become God. So if God stays where he belongs, namely in the background, and simply fulfills our desires, then he's a nice God. And if he gets too aggressive, tries to interfere with our lives, wants us to surrender, wants us to actually give up our sense gratification, gross and subtle, then he's a threat. And we have to figure out what to do with him. Generally, in the material world, people just ignore him. They claim they love him, but they don't want to listen to whatever he says. Matter of fact, they don't believe he can speak, so there's no problem. Accepting a God that can't speak is no problem. As long as he can give us what we want, then he's a nice person, although he's not really a person. Therefore, introducing the concept that God is a person is quite radical and revolutionary in the Western world. Now we're introducing that Krishna is God, and obviously people are not flocking to the conception. Although, what is their conception of God? What is their conception when it really comes down? What do they really believe? Ultimately, people believe that the universe came about by accident. Now, since it came about by accident, we don't even have to inquire how did that accident happen. It just was an accident. Of course, accidents also have causes. If you are on the street and two cars crash into each other and the police come and they inquire what happened, you say, well, it was an accident. Oh, the police said, oh, it was an accident. No problem. They just leave because it was an accident. Obviously, there was no cause. Even accidents have causes. But because they can't figure out the cause, they just dismiss it. That we're so learned, we're so realized, don't even inquire from us. Because if you do, and we try to explain to you how this accident happened, it'll be so complicated that not only you can't understand it, we can't understand it either. Therefore, Prabhupada said, more or less, modern science, for the most part, is a bluff. They don't know what the truth is, and whatever they're putting forward, they don't really believe is the truth. But it gets, more or less, their truth is that whatever we say, whether it's correct or not, the real truth is that it gets us a salary. We get our pay. That's the truth. And since modern society is based upon godliness, godliness means that some people make more money from godlessness than others. Namely, the people who are selling people things for their sense gratification and mass quantities like cigarettes and alcohol, gambling, etc., meat eating, who have monopolized these industries of sense gratification, they think it's in their advantage to keep people in ignorance, keep people hooked, addicted to their sense gratification, because that way they get more and more money. And what is their satisfaction for the money? They feel like they're God, because they're controlling everyone in this way. And since everyone has come here to become God, and since they have the feeling that they're God for some time, they think their life is successful just by having that feeling. And to consider that anything else is possible beyond that feeling that I'm the controller and I'm enjoying controlling others, because they're covered over by ignorance, they can't even begin to conceive that, nor do they want to. They're satisfied by feeling themselves the controller. And since they're offering everyone else the same illusion that they are also the controllers, or at least the people in the Western world, that we have conquered over all the other countries in the world, and they're all supplying for our sense gratification, therefore you're also participating in our activities of being the supreme controllers on this planet, at least. Therefore, many people are satisfied. I'm getting my intoxication, my sports, my movies, my illicit sex, my gambling, this is all I'm actually enjoying, and I'm getting all this enjoyment by controlling others. And that this is the absolute truth, and if some people need God in order to feel good, well, that's all right. That's another type of sense. And if that, as long as it's within the realm of sense enjoyment, then it's perfectly all right. But don't get too serious about it and start introducing that God is a person. And not only God is a person, but you actually have to dedicate your life to Him. That you actually have to surrender everything you have to Him. They can't conceive of that. Concentrating your mind all the time on one person, that this is not freedom, this is slavery. Never mind that they themselves are being forced to concentrate their minds on some so-called God. Just like if you read the newspapers, all these newspapers, radios, magazines, they're all chanting, Bush, Bush, George Bush. So they're also chanting. And maybe they're chanting the plenary expansions or partial expansions. Mr. Howard, is that his name? But they're also chanting about the Supreme, what they consider the Supreme. And although they tell us we should not concentrate our minds so intently on one subject, but they themselves give great rewards if someone is able to concentrate their minds on one subject, however insignificant that subject may be. If someone is able to take a stick and hit a little ball and hit that little ball into a hole expertly, he becomes worshipable by half the world. And they give him hundreds of millions of dollars for doing it. And in order to become expert at hitting this ball into a hole with a stick, he has to spend his whole life concentrating on. And when people watch his concentration, hitting that, thinking of that ball day and night, and meditating upon the perfection of life, prayojana, sambandha is the stick, and the ball and the hole, abhideya is hitting that ball with the stick towards the hole, and prayojana is when the ball goes into the hole. So although they're going through the yogic process in order to do that, yama, niyama, they have to know that you have to hit the ball. You can't hit your opponent with the stick. That's not the way you win. Knock your opponent out and then automatically you win. No, you that's not allowed. You have to take the right position. You can't stand on your head and try and hit the ball. It won't work. You have to breathe. If you don't breathe, you'll pass out in the golf course. You won't be able to do anything either. You have to withdraw your mind from everything else. Concentrate on the ball. Concentrate on the hole. Concentrate on the stick. Meditate. Go into samadhi. And that way reach perfection. And if you do that and you become absorbed completely day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 31 days in a month, 12 months in a year doing that, then you get not only the adoration and the respect of all the world, or you get so much money, they inquire from you, how should we end the war in Iraq, submissively, because you're so expert at doing it. But if someone spends the same time trying to concentrate their mind on reality, the absolute truth, then they become a danger. They're corrupting the minds of young children, trying to get them to concentrate too much, taking away from their valuable studies of Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse, teaching them weird conceptions of life like there's actually intelligence behind creation, and it's not us. So we shouldn't be, therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the prema paramartha mahan, that the highest perfection is to develop love, not love for a golf ball, not love for the results that come from the golf ball, that you get a golden golf ball. Golden club. Now the highest result is Arajo Bhagavan Vrajeshas Tanutadhama Vrindaranam, that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Maharaj Nanda, that is who is actually worshipable. And Krishna is worshipable because he's the source of everything. Not only is he the source of everything, but he's the source of all transcendental love, all pleasure. Love and pleasure are the same thing. Even here in the material world, people are trying to love things and take pleasure from them. But because they're dead, what they're trying to love, there's ultimately no real pleasure. But Krishna is alive, full of transcendental love, transcendental bliss, and those who concentrate their minds upon Krishna and things in relation to Krishna, they experience transcendental bliss. And no one has shown us more how to concentrate the minds upon Krishna than the Brajavadu, Arajo Bhagavan, Vrajesha Tuna Tanu, Tadhama Vrindarana, Brajavadu Vikalpa, something. That no one has shown us more than the gopis how to concentrate our minds upon Krishna. Out of love, they were thinking of him 24 hours a day. They had abandoned everything, their prestige, their homes, their children, things that generally people are attached to, and just they gave everything up just to please Krishna. We cannot understand how great someone is until they're put in a situation where their greatness is revealed. The intensity of the gopis' love is revealed by how they were able to abandon everything simply for Krishna's sake, and their intensity was so great that when there was some impediment towards worshipping Krishna or going to Krishna, even some of the gopis left their bodies in meditation of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj, his greatness was shown because he was put into many, many difficult circumstances, and yet he constantly chanted Hare Krishna. Although he was tried to be crushed underneath an elephant, thrown over a mountain, etc., put into a pot of boiling water, offered poison, but because he was always meditating upon Krishna, he was undisturbed. Although the gopis were not always put into such dramatic circumstances, but they abandoned everything, even their prestige, even their attachments, and they gave everything to Krishna, whatever Krishna wanted. Therefore, we can see here that in spite of the fact that Krishna left, abandoned them for other places, although they mentioned many things about his maybe consorting with the women of Mathura, etc., still they never gave up their attachment to Krishna. It was always growing more and more, in spite of contrary conversation with the bee that Srimati Radharani had. Still, it was all based upon pure love for Krishna. Their only thought was how to satisfy Krishna. They wanted Krishna to come back to Vrindavan, not for their enjoyment, but they thought that only Krishna could be happy in Vrindavan. Krishna was always the happiest in Vrindavan, so they were worried that somehow or another he was not as happy as he could possibly be by being outside of Vrindavan, and therefore they wanted him to be in Vrindavan for his happiness. So it's very hard for us to conceive of that, but already we're in that mood, believe it or not. We have a similar mood, just like although we're not this body, although we're spiritual souls, we're so selfless in our desire to please this body that we're willing to abandon our real happiness in life, namely Krishna consciousness. We've sacrificed everything for this body. We've sacrificed our real home in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. We've sacrificed all our loving relationships with Krishna and his associates simply to serve this dead body. We're so selfless. We're such great devotees of this body. Although the body kicks us and tortures us and eventually will abandon us, throw us out of the body, still we're so loyal to the body, we don't care. We'll hold on to the last moment. You may embrace me, you may trample me. We don't care what the body does to us. We'll simply serve you life after life. So our selfless nature is revealed by how the crazy souls become attached to this dead body and thinks it's God, the most worshipable object in creation, and has abandoned the real object of love and devotion, namely Krishna. But when we become Krishna conscious, then our real devotion will awaken, and it won't be very much different in one sense. The idea of attachment will still be there, but instead of becoming attached to things that are useless, we'll become attached to Krishna and his associates, who are all absorbed in the nature of pure unalloyed love, and therefore experiencing endless varieties of transcendental love and happiness. So until we recognize the value of what the gopis were doing, we think, oh, they were just some cowherd girls thinking of some boy in Vrindavan, and what's the big deal? There were no skyscrapers there, there were no jet planes, there are no modern computers, there are no television sets there. How could I go there? What would I do? Just think about Krishna? How boring. Got to chant my rounds all day long there, and what would I do? Milk a cow? Oh, come on. Maybe they'll ask me to churn butter. But I could just go to the store here and get a whole 10 kilos here. Why should I bother churning it? Until we understand the value of meditation, Krishna and love and devotion, service to Krishna and love and devotion, then we can't really appreciate what the gopis were doing, nor Uddhava, his appreciation for the gopis. Therefore, we should try to focus the mind upon Krishna as much as possible. And if we get a little glimmer of taste for the happiness that they were experiencing, then we'll begin to appreciate the value of unalloyed devotion. And what to speak of the gopis here explain as the most intense lovers of Krishna. To understand what the intensity of love for Krishna of a servant is beyond our capacity until we become liberated from the material concept of life. And as that increases, the dasya rasa from to sakya rasa to vatsalya rasa to madhurya rasa, these things are inconceivable because we can't even conceive the beginning rasas, what to speak of the more intense rasas, the sublime feelings that the gopis had of love. Because until we come to the platform of experiencing little love for Krishna, our love in the material world doesn't really produce any rasa. So how do we know what rasa is? And the more intensely we love this body, the more it gives us pain. So what do we know about what intensity of love bring pleasure? Because this material world is a reflection, a reality. Therefore, we have to try to gradually get out of the reflection and at the same time gradually try to intensify our devotion to Krishna, and then gradually these things will be revealed to us, what's actually taking place here. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Okay, stop there. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.